Hi, this is Rich Buckley, Rich Buckley Realty, Bay Area Pathfinder Productions. We're broadcasting to you from Livermore, California, the heart of the wine country in Northern California, inland off the San Francisco Bay, about 10 miles in a sunny little valley with deep and rocky soils. The local community is discussing a point: should churches be allowed in our wine country, in the rural areas of our wine country? Over the past 125 years since our forefathers located wine growing in this valley, based upon the soil, the climate, and the water conditions, its struggle through the era of Prohibition, its rebuilding after World War II, and later into the substantial region that it is today, we just went through a zoning process in which our local Livermore, City of Livermore, was the lead agency in planning the zoning for all of the South Livermore Valley. We worked cooperatively with the local Alameda County planning, and we came up with a new general plan for the area, allowing new homes to be built, and open spaces set aside for agricultural uses. We have an active water agency, Zone 7 Water District, which is works with the state of California. Our aquifers are full. We're expanding the aquifers where we have to. Our water tables are high. Our weather is holding sunny and warm, and our soils are nice, rocky, gravelly soils, allowing for deep rooting of the vines. We have 39 prospering boutique wineries and several major world-class wineries, including Concannon and Winty. Our boutique wineries, our boutique vintners, I might say, and wineries, start from backyard plots that run maybe 12 vines all the way up to the 39 established wineries that have hundreds of acres. Most of the new boutique wineries are running with 20 acres, give or take a few acres. This area, being the first area to grow grapes in California, started over 125 years ago by the Winty vintners, has a reputation for bold, robust, entrenched, world-class marketing. When it comes to world marketing of our wines, we're sort of the Diageo or Fortune brands of marketing abilities here in the local Tri-Valley area. You can go any place in the world, travel any place in Asia and Europe, pick up a menu, and chances are you'll find one of our wines on the menu. By any measure, you would call us established. Since 1949, the years that I've been aware and lived here in the community, my parents before that, when churches needed to expand and they couldn't find land in a downtown area, it has always been a zoning policy which reflects our cultural heritage of the establishment and practice of religion in the United States. It has been locally recognized by allowing churches to go into any zoning district subject to a conditional use permit. During the conditional use permit process, a public hearing would be held, and issues aired and issues mitigated, and the church is allowed to proceed. If you drive around the community, you might notice the Methodist Church on East Avenue was allowed to expand this way, my very own church. We worked into the rural area at the time when we started, when we moved out of the downtown and located out in the country. At the time, we were quite a distance out in the country. Now it's all urbanized around us. Other examples of churches and institutions in unincorporated areas, and I think it is fair to include other institutions, our great institutions and educational institutions would be examples of our Las Positas Community College that literally went across the freeway on the north side and acquired a large piece of land and developed. Also out there next to Las Positas Community College, we used to have a little Baptist church that moved out north of town. At one time, I think even up on the knoll of Hilliker, near Hilliker Place, there was a little church off of North Livermore Avenue. We've got the little brown church in downtown Sunol, a great place to hold weddings. And even though it's downtown, if you don't know the area here, Sunol's a little bucolic, rustic community of about 200 people located in an unincorporated borough within southern Alameda County. Then as you drive up the cross of our two freeways, Highway 580, the old Lincoln Highway connecting the east and west coast, and north towards Walnut Creek up Highway 680, a bottleneck area which we've just passed bonds to help improve the traffic flow on, you'll find located on the western hillsides of Highway 680 churches that have located along that hillside, several of whom were located in unincorporated county areas. And of course, the churches of the Three Crosses in Castro Valley, and nearly all of Castro Valley is an unincorporated area. Churches there take out their planning applications with the county on hillsides area of county zoning jurisdiction only. In the face of this 125-year history of treating churches in a allowing churches to go in any district, we now have a group whose one spokesperson, Gail Shearer, and a couple of vintners have engaged a small, growing, successful little church here in the Livermore area that was blocked from expanding their facilities on their current site. This growing growing population of community worshipers in the little growing church, they are now being denied access into the wine country. A couple of the neighbors in the wine country started a NIMBY program, Not In My Backyard program, and together we're able to talk a friendly vintner into saying that a church located in the wine country will destroy the wine country. It's inappropriate use in the wine country, and the wine country is too fragile to allow a church in. One other complaint is that, oh yes, the facilities are too big to place on the 14-acre site. You know, good public relations of an important local industry like our wine growing group, you can always tell when you're watching good public relations. You get a warm, fuzzy feeling, like watching a old Bing Crosby White Christmas movie. What you get when this group of NIMBYs do their talking is direct personal attack intended to embarrass any participant who has a fundamentally or shares a fundamentally different point of view. I have found over the years that direct personal attacks on individuals is usually a bankrupt policy of people that don't have anything substantial to say. And what are the vintners saying? Well, the public relations voice of the vintners apparently has been turned over to this group of NIMBYs, and they're making roughly three claims in addition to direct personal attacks to any participants. They're saying that the uses are inappropriate, religious use is inappropriate in the wine district, that they build too big on the site, and the area is too fragile. Well, let's start with fragile. fragile, to my way of thinking, would be an artificially induced environment to keep something alive. Here in the Livermore Valley, we have a natural abundance of elements that are needed to keep these vines growing. We have ideal soil. We have a robust industry going back 125 years and regrowing in no small part under the leadership of the Windy family that have helped guide and direct and buy and take great financial risks in developing further the wines to bring them back to the glory of the days of the turn of the century when the area is along a royal road under an old turn of the century prospering wine district, had nearly 8,000 acres planted throughout the South Fertile Crescent area. The valley has never seen more vintners than today, where nearly a boutique winery a month is announcing opening its doors. Last month we had 38, now I understand it's 39. And still growing, with several prime spots still left for those interested in coming into our local area to start a boutique winery. The inappropriateness of having a church go into the area, let's talk about that. To call a church inappropriate is a confusion of terms. Let's break it down into several elements. One of the elements that goes into its whether or not it's appropriate is its historic, how churches have historically been treated in the United States. What we see here in the South Fertile Crescent and everything around it, near over 15,000 acres, which is quite a number of square miles, is what I would call secular redlining. An attempt to just simply block religious institutions as they're being blocked in various areas of our downtown and throughout the community. It's always don't do it in my backyard. So to address inappropriate, there is always the element, how have churches been treated in the past within the communities? Well, in the past, churches have always been treated as being allowed to go into any district, any zoning district, subject to a conditional use permit process. And in fact, we have examples cited earlier in this conversation where churches were allowed to locate within these rural areas and develop into the larger facilities they are today, quite compatibly with their neighbors. Churches tend to make good neighbors, by the way. They go out of their way to make sure that their noise and other issues are well contained on site and do not bother their neighbors. Another dimension to the idea of whether or not this is an appropriate use would be the cultural significance of the church going into a rural area. And here I would encourage you to go online and prove to yourself how churches have integrated into the rural areas throughout the U.S. and in Europe. Now, I typed in key search words like churches, country churches France, country churches Italy, country churches Sicily, country churches Germany, and started looking throughout the internet resources, and quickly I found many examples of churches built in vineyards surrounded by grapes and obviously growing in regions of France that most of us would consider vacation destinations to die for. The argument being, of course, that we want to make this a tourism, an area of interest to tourists. The implication in the term inappropriate use would also perhaps incorporate that you won't want to go to an area where churches are as a tourist attraction. Now, when I go to Lake Tahoe for a vacation or a weekend, I am not going up to Lake Tahoe and thinking, gee, when I go for my morning jog along this little rural trail, I hope I don't encounter a cute little country church. That's the last thing on my mind. As a matter of fact, when I jog by a church in the country, I get that warm and fuzzy feeling that all's right with the world, and I'm in contact with the transcendent in some important way. Surely the church itself is not a problem in attracting tourism. And then to take that experience and bring it to our local community, I think you can see that there is a misguided effort here by a couple of NIMBYs that are attempting to speak for the entire wine growing community. There are financial interconnections. People owe people money. And if one person owes another person money, you can often go to the other person and say, I want you to support me in this effort because I don't want a facility built next to me. And after all, Joe, you may have to collect on this note that I owe you. There's an old saying that down where the soil is cold, the action gets hot. So part of what you're not seeing when you're being told inappropriate are various voices that are doing favors for other voices that have nothing to do with whether or not a use is appropriate or inappropriate. It has all to do with NIMBYism. And from that core, that one core, a whole movement is attempted, and people are influenced, and that group influences a bigger group, and that group influences a bigger group, and pretty soon they're acting like the whole group is going to collapse and everything is going to fall apart if you allow this one entry into the wine country. And why is that? Because things are too fragile. They're all going to fall apart. Life will not be the same as we have known it if you allow this to occur. Well, let's talk about fragile. The wine district, I think Ms. Shearer uses the term, the area is too fragile to allow churches into the area. Well, okay, if you want to talk about geologic times, perhaps the few thousand years we're going through right now is subject to change. But most of us don't plan in such a long-term definition. How about 125 years? We've been established in a grape growing region for 125 years. Our water basins are maintained. Voters have gone out and approved improvements to our canal systems, to our reservoir systems, to our well systems, our water processing systems through a local district called Zone 7, which purchases water allocations from the state. We've only drawn a little over 50% of our water allocations from the state, and the state has never denied us our allocations when we've asked for them. So, what should our community be addressing? I think the core of what makes people want to come to an area is beauty. We should be focusing on beauty. And when you go online and do this little self experiment of looking to see churches within an area, you'll quickly come to the realization that if you start looking at architectural elements of churches, if you throw enough money at these projects, you can make a winery look like a church, you can make a church look like a winery. And I challenge you to take sub-elements of that architecture, get up close to it. You don't know if you're walking into a good church, a beautiful historic church, or if you're walking into a beautiful historic winery. The there, it's not a reach to see the connection between architecture, beauty, cultural heritage from throughout Europe, and tourism. And finally, let's not shoot ourselves in the foot by saying that the church is too big for a site. That is a unnecessary and arbitrary restriction to prohibit a church from developing. Also, the standards we set should be applicable to many other institutions, particularly our educational institutions. And who among us really wants to stop an educational institution from building in our community, particularly some of the great private institutions that may develop their site, their campus site, to a heavy extent? To say that something is too big for a site is a subjective attempt to just stop it from going on. It's a very convenient line of reasoning. The stronger line of reasoning should be architectural control, the beauty. If safety is an issue, engineer safety. If the parking spread is an issue, build underground parking. Make the churches toe their weight in these areas. Keep the facilities beautiful. If the design is an issue, encourage the design of a French chateau or some other design that would be acceptable. If traffic is an issue, engineer traffic control. If overall facility concept is an issue, put together some sort of area architectural control committee and staff it fairly with local landowners, and mitigate these issues. But don't secular redline churches out of the wine country. They're being redlined out of every area in the communities, and the problem of locating churches in the U.S. is a growing problem. We don't have to have a big square box retail facility surrounded by acres of blacktop in these areas. These facilities have money. They have the ability to address these issues. Well, you say, this might be discriminatory against a church that wants to minister to on a much smaller scale, and isn't that a form of discrimination? Hey, if these smaller churches want to enter the area and administer to a different congregational set, put the same kind of conditions on them that you do the larger churches, but don't redline them out. Just make them carry their weight. Design in architectural beauty. That is the charming architectural beauty, the setting. That is what will bring tourism, not the use of the facility per se. And one final point. Nowhere in the public hearings of our Fertile Crescent study zone, nowhere in the touted materials of the planning achievement was there ever, to my memory, a declaration that other institutions and or churches would be categorically deemed unacceptable uses within the South Livermore Valley. And this is important. Nowhere in the process was the standing zoning procedures and policies of the City of Livermore specifically modified as to the zoning practices and rules affecting churches. Thus, if a church was deemed suitable before the adoption of the South Livermore Plan, subject to a conditional use permit process, it was deemed suitable after the adoption of the plan. That's the law. The latest iteration of zoning applicability by these private parties in Monday morning quarterbacking is trying to replay the game with different rules for the South Livermore Valley Plan. Also, I think it's very foolish of the vintners in general to issue an ultimatum to the general public, the ultimatum of choosing between religion or wine. There are some who might put the cork back in the bottle and choose religion. Thank you for listening. This is Rich Buckley, Bay Area Pathfinder Productions, broadcasting from the heart of the Livermore wine country.